Blog Talk Radio.
www.theclowntimes.net, and you can find me on Facebook where I'm talking shit and acting the fool, which is every day. But you can do a search, just type in the little window at the search window at the top of the Facebook page, this the Clown Times, because Clown spelled with K, and you'll be there. So we're continuing the NFL Superfan series, and just like last year, we're representing the Jaguars in here. Believe it or not, there are a lot of Jacksonville Jaguars fans out there, so save the laughter, hold the laughter. But at any rate, this is special because this super fan of the Jaguars, he actually is a man of many talents. He's the creator of Ed, the Sports Fan Sports Blog, the Sports Fan Journal. He's also a contributor to Slam Magazine. He also is a contributor to SB Nation. He's going to be joining us shortly. His name is Eddie Masonette III. But anyway, as soon as he gets on, we'll be able to do this. But at any rate, one real good thing about the Jaguars, quick thing about the Jaguars is I know that they didn't do so well last year. They finished the year 4-12, which was better than the Houston Texans, their division, but they had a first round draft pick. They drafted Blake Bortles, and even though he's scheduled to actually sit behind Chan Henne, who is a serviceable quarterback, but the future's not necessarily now, right away. But at any rate, he's back. What's up, brother?
Hi, Burks. How you doing, my brother? How's everything?
Everything is everything, my man. I'm just glad to have you back. Glad to have you represent. So, how's life in the Bay Area, right quick?
The Bay Area is on and up, brother. It's nice outside. The weather's always 75 degrees. There's tons of ethnically ambiguous women walking the streets, and
nice.
I cannot complain with
nice.
Life, my man. Life is good.
You know what? I know I'm married, but I'm jealous. I'm jealous, dude. I mean, the nice weather, and I know how the town is out there, brother. So, hey. Hey.
Hey, man.
Much
hey,
love
what
to
can
you,
you
man.
Do, man?
I'm not mad at you whatsoever.
Hey, man, what can you do, man? Like I said, you got the good weather. You got two pretty good baseball teams. You got two football
right,
teams.
Right.
Ready to do work. And you got the water close. And, again, you've got the ethnically ambiguous women out here. So, like, there's really nothing to complain about except for to get outside, mingle, meet and greet, and let them know, just you say hi. You don't have to do it. You can be married. It's okay. Sometimes people just want to talk and engage.
Or you can just network.
Yeah, you just network. You just mingle. That's it. Just pass out your business card.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what my boy used to call it. He's like, man, I'm networking, bro. I'm networking. See, I'm getting all this business cards, though. And anyway, he used to say all that.
exactly.
So let's just get... Yeah, exactly. So let's just get to it, my man. I know you're busy, brother. I know you do a lot of things out there. So let's talk about the Jaguars, bro. So I know that they finished 4-12. I know that they had a high draft pick once again. But first of all, I like Blake Bortles. I like what he brings to the table. I like that he has more heart than one Blaine Gabbert. First of all, anytime you coach, you draft a player named Blaine, then you know you're in trouble, but that's another story. But anyway, what are your impressions of one Blake Bortles right now, your eyes?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, when the draft was coming around, I was 100% in the bandwagon of Teddy Bridgewater. I had been forecasting Teddy Bridgewater being a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars for not one but two seasons. And, you know, to see them not get Bridgewater when he was right there, especially and this is just off the strength of, look, Teddy Bridgewater was a better quarterback in college than Blake Bortles. Teddy Bridgewater played in bigger games. He played against better competition. And he looked better doing it. But the thing is that you realize with the NFL is that the NFL is a different game. And Blake Bortles has things about him that Teddy Bridgewater doesn't. Blake Bortles is 6'5", 240 pounds. Blake Bortles has a stronger arm. Blake Bortles has an ability to win in the pocket and move on out the pocket. And Blake Bortles has probably been spending less time playing the quarterback position than Teddy Bridgewater, and you can see the rapid development. So, you know, like, everything I see with Blake Bortles in the preseason so far has looked really good. And this, I don't want this to come off like I thought he was a bum in college, because he was a really good quarterback in college. And my expectation is that if he can someday be some type of quarterback similar to Ben Roethlisberger, then I think Jacksonville did a genius move by going up to the number two pick in the draft and getting him. Now, with that being said, I just hope that they do what they said they're going to do, and I hope they keep him on the bench. I hope they let him sit there and watch, be a clipboard all-star, and let Chad Henne take these reps with these bum-ass starters that they got on the first team. And, you know, let them work these kinks out. Let that offensive line get better. Let the skill positions develop, because look, outside of Cecil Shorts, who's only in his fourth year, they're going to trot two rookies out there at wide receiver. And they've got a left tackle that just came off of tearing his ACL. We drafted it's been so long, I can't even remember Jokel. We drafted Jokel the season before, and he tore his ACL in the second game of the season. So we've got talent. And here's the thing you're going to hear all throughout this podcast and this interview. They've got talent at a lot of positions, but they're very green. And I think the Jaguars coaching staff has been really smart in saying there is no need to rush Blake Bortles into action, because we don't plan on winning the Super Bowl in 2014. We are 2 to 3 years away minimum. So let them develop, and let's see what we got moving forward.
You know what? It's refreshing to know that Jacksonville is one of the few teams doing it the right way. I mean, I remember when the Bengals drafted one Carson Palmer, and I think it was 2002. I think I might be wrong with that, but at any rate, the thing is that 2003 actually, was that they let him sit behind John Kitna, or as the Cincinnati locals called him, John Cantner, and just learn on the job like for a full year, and then that did well for, even though Carson Palmer didn't have a stellar career, he had a decent career in Cincinnati and, you know, and whatnot. So I think that throwing any quarterback, rookie quarterback, to the Wolves could go one or two ways. It could go the Andrew Luck way and, you know, help him build confidence and lead his team to the playoffs, build confidence, or even RG3 for that matter. Or it could have the Blaine Gabbert effect. It could have insert quarterback bust name in this blank. You know what I'm saying? So I like the fact that Jacksonville is realistic. I like the fact that they're patient. I like the fact that they're not going to beat the hell out of their top investment in Bortles right away. So I applaud this move, especially in this win now league, that's the NFL. So it's refreshing to see that. In addition to saying all those things, I love your coach, what your coach is doing, Gus Bradley. I love that they played hard for them last year, even though they only won 4 games. But like you said, that's because everybody's young. And I like what like the direction what they're going to this season. I mean, I just it's a different vibe in Jacksonville, and it starts with the owner as well. I mean, Kyle is doing his thing, man. So your impression on one Gus Bradley after year one last year?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So look, here's the thing. I live in the Bay Area, and there are a lot of people here that hate the Seattle Seahawks. And they hate the Seattle Seahawks for two reasons. Number one, they hate the Seattle Seahawks because they haven't seen a team that will talk as crazy and punch people in the mouth as much as Seattle will, because Seattle plays in the same fashion as the San Francisco 49ers do. And everything that I'm starting to see with the Jacksonville Jaguars, I just started calling them Seattle Southeast, because the way that they're trying to find certain players to play certain positions, and the way that they're just like, look, man, we're putting speed on the field. We're going to be heady. Right. We're going to be physical, and we're going to play in waves. So we're going to have depth. We're going to try to build our first team and our second team and even our third team so that when we're on the field, we're always fresh, we're head on a swivel, and we're going to try to go out there and make plays. And as a defense, that's all you really want. And Gus Bradley has never tried to sell the Jaguars a pipe dream. And he's never come in here and tried to be like, look, man, we're about to go in here and make the playoffs by year two or year three. Because if you just look at the roster and what's there, the cupboard is bare. So, look, he's done a great – I'll give Tony Khan and David Anderson, the general manager of the Jaguars, and who came over from the Atlanta Falcons, and I'll give Gus Bradley a lot of credit. They have found great ways to skim off the top of a lot of other rosters. They got a ton of players off Seattle. They got a lot of players off the Atlanta Falcons because that's where the general manager came from. And they now have depth, which is something Jacksonville hasn't had since Mark Brunell and Jimmy Smith and Fred Taylor and Keenan McCardell were out here running nine routes and dig routes 10 years ago. It's one of those things that, look, you ask the Dallas Cowboys right now how they feel about having depth on their defense, and they're like, man, we remember the days. They don't have it right now. So, like, if you're a Jaguars fan, you have nothing but optimism. And I know that there are Jaguars fans that are like, look, man, we want to get Bortles on the field right now. But, again, there's just nothing really to prove there. And this defense, you know, look, man, that team went 4-12 last year with Chad Hennessy out there at quarterback. And I only call him Chad Hennessy because the man makes me want to drink Hennessy when he's out there playing quarterback. So Bradley's okay. Chad Hennessy's not a terrible quarterback. He's not good, but he's not terrible.
Right.
And, you know, he's like, look, man, earn your paycheck, take these sacks, be a teacher to Blake Bortles, and we know we have a clipboard waiting for you for the rest of your career should you choose to accept the mission. And I'm glad Gus Bradley is preaching that philosophy all the way.
There you go. It's not like Chad Henning would decline the mission. Otherwise, he would get his ass and be unemployed out of the league. It's not like he's hot stuff. So I think that Henny is a good mentor to Bortles, and I think Bortles has all the tools. I remember seeing Bortles light it up at Central Florida, especially in the Fiesta Bowl against Baylor. And I know that's college. Not trying to talk Skip Bayless and try to extrapolate shit from college to the pro game. But the thing is, I like what I saw, and I think he being Bortles has the tools. And it's going to take a little while to develop. That's just the way it is. It's just the reality of it. And I like the fact that Jacksonville is taking it slow with this young man. That is going to pay off dividends in the end. You mentioned Tommy Khan earlier, the owner. He seemed to pour a lot of resources into making the franchise more attractive to the community. I know that there are people down in Jacksonville who love the Jaguars, but it's just the perception that the city of Jacksonville and Northeast Florida, for that matter, is kind of apathetic towards them. So I don't know if you can buy into that logic of not being a fan, but do you think the city will truly embrace the Jaguars, or am I just being crazy thinking that they're not?
I think the perception of the Jaguars fan base being fickle or disloyal is largely overblown. I think what people fail to realize is that Jacksonville was burdened with a stadium that previous commissioner Paul Tagliabue decided, hey, you guys need to build a stadium so that we can host the Super Bowl, even though when the Jaguars first got there, they were always a top 10 team in attendance. And when they needed to make the upgrade to improve that stadium attendance to 75,000, like, Jacksonville just didn't have the fan base to support that size of a stadium. So then you see the tarps at the top of the 400 section of that stadium, and it's tarped out, and people are like, well, what's going on? Why is it blacked out? That's not on the fault of Jacksonville. And to be fair, like, they haven't, you know, a lot of people talk about blackouts and Jacksonville having blackouts. Look, Jacksonville hasn't had a blackout in 4 years. Now, I could tell you some teams that have had blackouts. We could talk about the team in Central Florida that's had some blackouts. That's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We could talk about the team with the best running back in football with the Minnesota Vikings. They've had blackouts. We could talk about the team that currently resides in the town that I live in, the Oakland Raiders. They've had blackouts, and the San Diego Chargers and the St. Louis Rams have had blackouts. The Jacksonville Jaguars haven't had blackouts in many a year. So it's really, at this point, like, if for Jaguars fans, all 38 of us that really pay attention to it, we understand that the whole blackout thing and supporting the team is really overblown. And I think Shad Khan and Tody Khan, they're not going to be putting the 700-inch Hashitashi screens that be showing NFL Red Zone in that stadium.
I love those
if they
screens.
Didn't think that, yeah, like if they didn't think people weren't going to be there to show up, and they put luxury pools. Now, I don't necessarily want to be in the water, but I mean, it's a pool at the stadium. That's pretty cool. You know, they got the NFL Red Zone going during the game so I can keep up with my fantasy football. You know, and Jacksonville has a really nice stadium. I've been to that stadium twice. And it's a good-looking stadium. So, like, they're good. They're going to be okay. And you know what cures a lot of the ills with a team like this? Just win a few games. And I think the good thing is with this football team right now and their fan base is they're on the memo. They all got the memo that we got to be a patient. And if you get everybody on board, then it makes things a lot easier. And that's a good sign.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the stadium images right now of the upgrades. I mean, to your point, it's swimming pools behind both end zones. I mean, it's almost like the damn Arizona Diamondbacks. They got that big-ass pool in the outfield that the Dodgers, like, crashed when they won the division last year. But at any rate, but I like what Khan is doing. I like the fact that he's pouring resources to the team. And to your point, it would be silly for him to make all his upgrades if he didn't think that he'd keep the team in Jacksonville. So, that's good point you need to do that. Because if you listen to the media, man, and we know how you feel, I know you're part of the media now, but I'm just saying, the media has a way of extrapolating shit, sometimes making up shit just to get headlines. You know how that goes. And, you know, and I feel bad for Jacksonville fans, because it's cast them in a bad light. Well, to your point, Tampa Bay draws almost the worst. I mean, any good visiting team that rolls in there, it becomes their home game. It's not their home game because no one in Tampa Bay gives a shit all of a sudden. So, I mean, it's too bad that Jacksonville is getting that bad rap, maybe because they're not on TV a lot, but at least on national TV a lot. But the thing is that I like what's going on down there. I like the vibe is going to be different this year, and I think they're going to make a few surprises, man. I think they are. Yeah. So speaking of surprises, oh no, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead, bro.
Well, no, I was just going to say, thank God Tampa Bay came out with those alarm clock uniforms. So, you know, now that Jacksonville has, I mean, you could legitimately make the case that Jacksonville at least has the best-looking uniforms in the state of Florida. And I used to think that the Miami Dolphins had some really good-looking uniforms, and I usually am on the bandwagon of what Nike does, but I was really disappointed that they took a lot of the orange trim out of their uniform. And, you know, now the Miami Dolphins look like the Seattle Mariners in like 95. They need to get Ken Griffey in uniform, and then it really looked good. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, look, Jacksonville's got a lot of good things going for him, man. And I think there's a few organizations that are kind of jealous right now, to be honest. And the NFL is behind them, and everything Roger Goodell says seems to be the same thing, that, hey, we're behind this organization, and we're going to back them for the long haul.
Well, you know what? I'm glad to hear that the commissioner is behind your squad. But I got to say, and you know from my blog post and whatnot, fuck Roger Goodell. I had to get that out there. I had to get my first Roger Goodell reference out there. I'm sorry that came on the tail end of him supporting your team, but I just had to get that out there. Anyway,
I don't believe you're the only one that shares that type of sentiment. So you have people to share the bandwagon with.
Oh, God, he's taking the football out of football. But I'm sorry, this is about the Jaguars, not about his ass. So I'm trying not to digress. I promise you I won't digress.
It's all good, my brother. It's all good.
Coolness. So let's look at the upcoming schedule, man. I mean, you know, you guys playing the NFC. You guys playing, I think, the AFC North, of course. My division.
Yeah.
So I like what your coaching staff is doing. I like that you have a lot of green cats, but talented green cats on your team. But I'm looking at the schedule here. You got Philly on the road. You got the first two games are on the road. At Philly, at Washington. Home against the Colts is always a big rivalry game for you cats. At San Diego, hosting my Steelers. At Tennessee, hosting the Browns. And, you know, you guys get the Dolphins, too. And at Cincinnati, hosting Dallas, got a bye week, week 11. They play the Colts again, hosting the Giants, hosting the Texans, at Baltimore, hosting Tennessee, at Houston. Not too daunting of a schedule at all. I think you guys will make some more noise in the AFC South this year. Tennessee has a lot of question marks. Houston's Houston. And I don't think Indianapolis is all that in the bag of chips like everybody else in the media thinks they are. So I think you guys have a chance to really improve upon your win total from last season. So looking at your schedule, I'm thinking y'all should win between 6 and 8 games from what I saw in the preseason. And you're laughing because you probably think I'm on drugs right now for saying that. But I really think you guys are going to have a breakout year this year, man. I really do. And I just say that because of my boy and my frat brother.
I appreciate that. We just had a conversation about Chad Hitty. So, look, he's still our quarterback. And even if Blake Bortles does come in and play at some point, I'm not in a position to invest that type of belief into any rookie quarterback that puts on the black and teal for the Jaguars. It took David Garrard a few years to get it. It took Byron Leftwich some time to really be able to contribute. Again, we're talking about a team that really – hasn't had a franchise quarterback since Mark Brunell. And he's really the only franchise quarterback we've really ever had. And you look at the teams that we're playing this year, like if you just said, I don't know, who's the league average quarterback right now? Let's just take Andy Dalton because he's the one who just got paid and everybody's like, oh, my God, he got all that money. And he really didn't get all that money, but that's besides the point. But if you put Andy Dalton on this Jaguars team, right now, as a starter, I think they go 8-8. I think they go 8-8, based on the type of defense they have, based on type of the weapons they have, and the coaching style and the schedule that the Jaguars have. Unfortunately, they just have too much incompetence at the quarterback position right now. It's not guaranteed incompetence forever, but I just am not willing to trust in it. What's interesting when you look at the schedule though is you see teams like, you know, I'm always excited when Jacksonville has Pittsburgh on the schedule, and people don't realize, and I know you definitely do, but Jacksonville and Pittsburgh was real back in the day.
Yep.
I would say between about 96 to to 4th and 2? Yeah, you didn't think you'd have anybody bringing up 4th and 2 on your podcast, but I just did.
Oh,
but
God.
From you, I would say from 96, from 96 to about 4th and 2, when Garrard hit the shotgun draw, like Jacksonville and Pittsburgh played some mean games. And I remember watching Kevin Green and Greg Lloyd and Neil O'Donnell and then transitioning to Cordell and Roethlisberger and all those guys, like, man, they used to have some wars. And, you know, I remember seeing Fred Taylor and Tony Brackens and Kevin Hardy. I remember the day when Jacksonville got Carnell Lake from the Steelers, and we had Lake and Donovan Darius out there in the secondary, and we gave Pittsburgh hell. And those were some of the best games, like, in that era of football. And, you know, like, so like, I still think that, you know, like, I don't think that it's a rivalry anymore, but it's one of those rivalries that kind of came and went, and only if you were involved in it could you really appreciate it. So, like, I remember those times very fondly growing up. But like I said about the schedule, though, like, I just think that they're going to have some teams. I mean, like Tennessee, like we said, I don't think Tennessee is worth a damn. I don't think that,
I don't either.
You know, yeah, I mean, Houston's really in a similar boat as us, is they've got a lot of talent. They might have more talent than we do, but they've got no quarterback at all whatsoever.
Right.
So who knows how good Houston will be. And then we've got the NFC East. And I don't think we're better than any of the teams in the NFC East, but it's the NFC East. And we know that they've consistently found ways to look like doo-doo on national television. And God forbid, because, you know, they have the largest fan base. And I have people on Twitter hitting me up right now because they hear me talking about the Jaguars on the podcast, talking about, don't nobody want to hear the Jaguars right now. And I'm like, don't let the Jaguars beat you. That's always been my hashtag. That's always what I say when I'm on Twitter. Don't let the Jacksonville Jaguars beat you, because I'm going to embarrass you, because we're not a good team. We know we're not a good team, and if you let my team beat you, you will not hear the end of it. And that goes for you too, Scott Burks, because on October 5th, if the Jacksonville Jaguars beat you, you might as well just hop on off of Twitter for like a week. Don't answer your phone. I'm going to check to see if you paid your phone bill that week. Don't, you know, I might send you a text message. You know, I'm going to make sure you're on Facebook still. I just want to make sure, you know, you didn't come, you know, I don't want to make anybody be on suicide alert, because, you know, I want to make sure we're all living and breathing out there, man. But don't let the Jaguars beat you. That's all I got to say.
You know what I have to say about that, though? If you look at the recent history between those two teams, Pittsburgh does not do all that well in Jacksonville. That's just the honest to God truth. They read historically to bad, if you will, when we played in Jacksonville, Florida. I do not know why. Even when y'all inaugural season, we lost y'all 20-16 with Neil. I can't throw up a damn O'Donnell at quarterback. I don't know why we did lose to you guys that year, but we just did, and we only won there maybe 2-3 times, and we played y'all like at least 1,000 times in Jacksonville.
Well,
I don't know what it is about that stadium.
Well, you know what?
Humid as hell.
You know what's
black jerseys, I don't know.
You know what's crazy about – this is the thing that people always forgot about Jacksonville. Two things. One, Pittsburgh used to struggle with Jacksonville because they didn't never have to deal with this thing called humidity that they got in Jacksonville, where you go to somebody's house, or you go to the hotel, or you go to somebody's car, and the windows are sweating because there's just so much humidity in the air. Like, it's just a real thing, right? And the second thing is, for the longest time, I mean, every coach that Jacksonville's ever had has been a hard-nosed, defensive-minded coach. And we started off with Tom Coughlin, and we played like a AFC Central, AFC now North team, where we were out there trying to hit. We were playing smash mouth, run the ball football, and, like, you put that humidity along with that type of run game, because the thing that a lot of people don't remember about Jacksonville, and this all started with Tony Boselli, is that Jacksonville was built in the trenches, and we could ball on the offensive line, and we could get after it in the defensive line. We always had defensive tackles to mush up the middle probably more than anything else. So, yeah, like, we did give Pittsburgh problems, and really until, I would say, Roethlisberger emerged, that they really took it over, and then we just crapped the bed all the way. But when we had Brunel in there, and when we had especially, and then, of course, what made it so sweet was doing 4th and 2 in Pittsburgh in the cold in, like, 10-degree weather. And we and the seas parted, and Moses the God, excuse me, Moses Garrard took it up the middle, and he said, I'm going to be nice on you boys, and I'm going to slide, so we can just kick this field goal, and we can get out of here early, because that was, oh my God, it was so much fun, and that had to hurt, because, I mean, it was at home. And Pittsburgh was like, we're going to win the Super Bowl. They were trying to go to the Super Bowl that year. And little old puny, tiny, sad Jacksonville just came over there and ruined everything. And, you know, to be fair, we haven't really had anything to celebrate since. So, I mean, hey, man, I'm just going to revel in the moment of being able to talk about that day. It was a good day.
Hey, that's okay. I'd be the same, but I'd actually be a bit worse if it was me. So don't sweat it. I'll say this, man. It's like, actually, with Coughlin and damn Jet Del Rio, they built teams to compete with those cats. They built teams to compete with Pittsburgh, Tennessee Titans, back when they had McNair and damn Eddie George and Javon Kirsten, those cats. They built, and going to Del Rio, built them to compete with Pittsburgh and with Baltimore, even though they spent most of the time in the South at that point. That they still valued valued that hard nose, ground, like ball control, pounding with damn Fred Taylor, your boy Maurice Jones-Drew. That did it. That did it. And those defensive tackles were like money. They were like money for you cats, man. So much respect.
Look, as long
man,
as we had.
Go ahead.
Oh, my bad. No, all I was going to say is, as long as we had Jimmy Smith doing a few lines of cocaine during halftime so he could be out there ready to play, and as long as we had Tom Coughlin out there giving military cadences so that our defense could be right, they'll never do a 30 for 30, and they'll probably ever consider giving any type of documentary to the Jaguars. But people have to realize, and you brought up Tennessee, and, like, the amount of love I do not have for the Tennessee Titans is so high, because people have to remember, especially in 1999, we're talking about 15 years now, and I'm probably going to have to write an article about it at some point. I might even do that at the beginning of the season. But 15 years ago, we're talking about a Jacksonville Jaguars team that literally never lost. They went undefeated except to the Tennessee Titans, because they went 0-3. Against the Tennessee Titans, and they went 14-0 against everybody in the regular season, and they won their first playoff game in 99, and they got to the AFC Championship, and they just never figured out how to beat Tennessee. And that is one of those things that nobody talks about, but you think about, like, the amount of guys they had on that team, and they were real. And, you know, like, it's one of those things that it's just a little footnote. And especially because of Jacksonville. If it happened to a team like the Patriots or, Green Bay or something, you know, they probably still talk about a team like that, but they don't talk about them as much because it's Jacksonville. But, it's one of those things that I think about a lot, for sure.
Yeah, well, I like what you guys are doing in Jacksonville now. You guys got the right structure. You got the Seattle boys running things. So it's only a matter of time, brother. You got to have faith, and as long as they keep building up that pendulum, if you will, I think you guys are going to be all right. It's going to be only a matter of time, brother. Trust me on that. It's going to be a matter of time.
Well, the good thing is that, look, man, I'm going to tell you right now, here's the good thing about your team being shitty at football is that it makes watching football a lot less stressful. I'm telling you right now, I've had so much fun watching football the last couple of years, man. I'm like, man, look, I was one of them fans. Jacksonville was at this point, I think, last year where, you know, they just kind of started winning a little bit, and it started to look, because Jacksonville looked like they'd be a lock for the number one pick. And, you know, Jacksonville started to actually look good, and I'm like, man, it felt good to win. And then we won another game. And I'm like, okay, we can stop winning now. No need to keep, because people have to remember, like, last season we went 0-8. And we finished 4-4 to end the regular season. And a lot of people were mad. And, you know, and it's this thing about being a fan, and people are, like, always trying to think about, you know, we think we're a part of the organization, and we think we're professionals, and, you know, we want to think about the long haul, like, oh, man, we need the number one pick, blah, 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 whoop-de-whoop. I'm going to tell you something right now. Yes, it was easy to keep my Jaguars away so I didn't have to be upset and be stressed. But, man, it feels good to win. And, like, you know, seeing, you know, and being 0-8 is not cool. And like, it's one of those things that I, like, you know, you are a Steelers fan, and I don't ever question how people become fans of certain teams. That's not what I do. But I tell people all the time, like, you know, some people tell me, like, well, I don't know what team I want to root for. I'm like, save yourself a lot of heartache. Just root for the best team possible, because, like, this type of stress that people have to go through, like, I could just kill myself being a Browns fan. Like, I just couldn't imagine. Or, like, when Detroit went 0-16. Yeah, like, or when Detroit goes 0-16. Like, look, watching Jacksonville win a few games was great. And, like, it did make me question my sanity when I'm sitting there, like, man, I kind of want them to stop winning so we could get the number one pick. But, like, all of it worked out. And we got our quarterback finally. And, you know, we're going to get better. I think this is going to be the year where people are going to say maybe they're turning the corner a little bit. And then I think the ball is going to start rolling as far as expectation. I'm not saying they're going to be world beaters by 2015. In fact, they might only get to – look, as far as I'm concerned, they went 4-12 last year. If they went 5-11 next year, that's when you said it. I was like, I don't see them winning any more than 5 games. If they win 5 games next year, that's great. And then next year, if they win 6 games, that's great. Like, I'm all of, like, just get a little better. Now, I don't think Gus Bradley's going to feel that way because, you know, he might lose his job if he only gets to 6 wins by the next season. But my thing is like, man, I'm trying to think about the long view, keeping a macro level view of what's happening. And I think it makes it a lot easier to deal with. Man, we're just trying to be Pittsburgh one day. We just trying to be Pittsburgh for one season. We just want to get one ring. Let us get one, and we can talk about, you know, trying to get – then we can talk about some other stuff. But just let us get one first.
Right. I feel you, man. Hey, it's going to, man. If fans like you is why I love professional football. That's what I'm talking about. Stick with your team, the good times, the bad, happy or sad. You know, sorry, Al Green, but that's what it's all about, brother. That's all it's about. Hey, man, I know you're busy. I know you're busy, man. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, man. Keep making those cats at SB Nation proud, brother.
Oh, man, it's all good, man. Let me just let everybody know real quick where they can find me. Check out me and my boys at the sportsfanjournal.com. We're affiliated with Fox Sports and the Yard Barker Network. We've got some big things going. We're going through a site redesign right now. And you know, I'm really proud of my team, my editors and my contributors on that team. We're inching towards a million page views for the first time in 2014, so that's good.
Nice.
And we're making some real progress there. Be on the lookout for my interview with Damian Lillard, which will go up on SB Nation on Friday. You might even hear me freestyling with Damian Lillard on Friday, so we're keeping that under wraps. Until then, for sure. And then also, you know, I do a little work with Slam Magazine as well. And be sure to follow me at Ed the Sports Fan on Twitter. And Scott Burks, one time for you, standing ovation because you do great work. It does go noticed. And we appreciate your work on the internet, my brother.
Hey, man, thank you, bro. I'm trying to be like you when I grow up, man. So I'm trying to be like you, brother. I'm trying to be like you, brother. I really appreciate the love, man.
No, it's all good, man. You know, I give you a pass because you're a Steelers fan. You know, even being a Steelers fan, I still like you.
Right. All right, bro. Hey, keep doing your thing in the Bay Area, man, and good luck in school.
Hey, man, I will, man. I appreciate that. And somebody go check on your on our boy Jag and make sure he ain't on suicide alert after Braxton
Miller
is out
right?
For the season. Yeah,
I know, right?
Yeah, five,
I haven't seen his ass yet, man.
Yeah, man, somebody call him, make sure he ain't on suicide alert, you know, make sure, you know, he ain't hopped on a chair and put some rope on the ceiling, you know. Like, we don't need that. He's a good man. He's a quality dentist. He serves the community. And he's got lovely kids and a lovely wife. And, you know, even the Ohio State Buckeyes shouldn't. You know, I could see the Ohio State Buckeyes making someone want to drink, but no suicide alert. So it's all good.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, we don't need that. You know what? I'm going to text his ass as soon as I get off here and see if he's still around. So and check on him. So I'll do that.
Yeah,
I'll
man.
Do that. And thanks a lot, brother. Take care.
All right, man. I'll talk to you, brother.
06.
Yes, sir. 06.
All right. All right, that's my man, Air the Sports Fan, otherwise known as Eddie Mason at the Third. Check him out, Sports Fan Journal. You know, he's doing a lot of good things, man. So here you have it, Jacksonville Jaguars 2014 preview in the books. We're going to do the damn thing again tomorrow. Once I pull up what we have going on tomorrow, we're going to do the Washington Redskins tomorrow with another fellow sports blogger from Banshee Sports, Rebecca Wetzel. She's going to chime in and talk about her team and whatnot. So, at any rate, I like the Jaguars this year, man. I like what they're doing down there in Jacksonville. And the team is in good hands with Gus Bradley and company. So, Jaguar fans, guys got a lot of hope for this season and beyond. I like Blake Bortles, and we'll see. But at any rate, thank you all for tuning in. Like I said, we're going to keep the NFL sports fan, super fan thing going the rest of the week. So take care. See y'all tomorrow. Talk to you. 06. Peace out. Night. Yeah.